fruit of the Spirit. And of course, our text is found in Galatians chapter 5, and we've already come through 8 of the evidences that are seen in the life of a person who is having that fruit of the Spirit growing in their life. Remember, we said that it's just one fruit, right? It's not fruits of the Spirit, just one fruit, but there's 9 manifestations of that fruit. And we've seen 8 of them, and now we come to the last one, which of course is the evidence of temperance. The evidence of temperance. Have you ever noticed that the majority of the problems that we face in life are problems that really was not created by anybody else except ourselves? Have you ever noticed that to be true? Most of the problems that we face in life are problems that we have brought upon ourselves, and most of the time the problem comes about because we have failed in the area of self-control. That's where the problem came from. That's where the problem came from. In fact, the wise man said it this way in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 28. The wise man said, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit." Did you get that? Here's a man, he has no control of himself. He has no rule over his own spirit. And notice what it says. It says that he is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Think about it. A city that is broken down and without walls, you know what that means? That means any enemy can just walk right in. Any enemy can come right in, wreak havoc, bring destruction, take away all of the goods and the treasures that are there. If there's no walls to protect it, then it is very vulnerable to every attack that the enemy may want to launch against it. And that's exactly the way a man is who has no self-control. The man who has no control over his own spirit, he's that very same way. Only difference is the enemy that comes in and ruins his life is Satan, you see. And so this thing of self-control, it's very important. It's very important. Now, many times we hear people asking questions, you know. Questions like, "Why can't I lose weight?" Or, "Why can't I get more done?" Or, "Why can't I break this habit that's, I know it's not good and I shouldn't do it, but I just can't seem to shake it. Why can't I do that?" And the list could go on and on. And invariably, the reason for all of those things is there's a problem in the area of self-control. Problem in the area of self-control. The truth is, self-control is the key factor to any success that we may have in life. Any success you may experience in your life is going to come because of self-control. Without self-control, you will never achieve anything of a lasting value. You'll never achieve anything of a lasting value. But this fact is not only true in the physical realm, it's also true in the spiritual realm. It's also true in the spiritual realm. Now, let me make a couple of points here by way of introduction. Number one, we are to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. We are to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, you're familiar with the text. "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." In other words, instead of being under the control of alcohol, we are to be under the control of the Spirit of God. The idea is, just as a drunk is controlled by the wine he drinks, the Christian should be controlled by the Spirit of God who lives inside of him. So we're to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Number two, we are not controlled, I'm talking about by the Holy Spirit, okay? We are not controlled against our will. We're not controlled against our will. If being filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit was automatic, In other words, you had no choice in the matter. You trust Christ, boom, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and there's nothing you can do about it, either for or against. It's just there. Well, if that were true, if we were controlled against our will, then God would never have given the command in Ephesians 5:18, be filled. Right? He wouldn't need to give the command. But He gave the command because of the fact we are not controlled against our will. In other words, God's not going to twist your arm and put it way up behind your back, you know, until you say, okay, uncle, fill me, you know. That's not going to happen. Not going to happen. Number three, we must choose to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. We must choose to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's where self-control comes in. See, self-control for the Christian is not me controlling my life. It is me taking my life and giving it to Him for His control. That's what temperance in the Bible is all about. It's me taking my life, putting it in His hand, and allowing Him to be in control of all things. And the more we allow Him to have absolute control in our life, the more we allow Him to have control, we will find that we make fewer bad choices. We make fewer foolish choices. We make fewer sinful choices when we choose to let God have control in our heart and in our life. And when He is in control, we'll make more good choices, right? We'll make more good choices. And that's exactly what Paul's talking about now in our text. In verse 22, verse 23, Galatians 5, he says, the fruit of the Spirit, and then he gives the listing of things that are manifestations of that fruit. And we come to the last one. The fruit of the Spirit is temperance. It is temperance. So as we consider this evidence of temperance or self-control that is seen in the lives of those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit and have His fruit blooming and blossoming in their lives, three things that I want us to notice together. First of all, our enemy. Our enemy. In James chapter 1, verse 14, the Bible says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now there's an important truth that we need to understand here, and that is this. When we trusted in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 tells us we became partakers of His divine nature. We became partakers of His divine nature. In other words, His Holy Spirit took up residence in our heart and in our life. And because we now have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us, we have within us the nature of God. We are partakers of His divine nature. And that creates the problem. That creates the problem. Because now we are a person, singular, with two natures. Okay? We are now a person, but we got two natures. We got two natures. And not only do we have two natures, these two natures are contrary to one another. They're contrary to one another. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, the Apostle Paul explained it this way. He said, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. In other words, the flesh wants to rule over the Spirit. That's the desire of it, the lust of it. The flesh is lusting against the Spirit, and the Spirit, on the other hand, is lusting against the flesh. It wants to control the flesh. So you have the flesh wanting to be in control over the Spirit. The Spirit wants to be in control over the flesh. And these two, the Apostle Paul said, are contrary the one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, the flesh is naturally pulling us one way to the world. The Spirit is pulling us the other way to the things of God, and we're caught in the middle. And the flesh and the Spirit are warring with one another. They're warring with one another. This is the very problem that caused the Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 7, verse 21 and following. Here's what he said. He said, I find then a law This is a law in his life, okay? Here it is. When I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now let me tell you what that means. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. What that means is, it means that your spirit, which came alive when you were saved, that spiritual part of you delights in doing the will of God. It delights in doing the will of God. And that's why there's a sense of well-being when you make right choices in your life that are in accordance with what the Bible says. That also explains why when you rebel against God's Word, you feel so miserable on the inside. Because the Spirit delights to do God's will. It delights to walk in obedience to the Word of God. But here's what Paul said. He said, but I see another law. Okay? I got two laws working here. One delights to do God's will on the spiritual side, but now I got this other law. I see another law in my members, and it's warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. That's this natural body of sinful flesh. And he says, I see this law, and it keeps trying to pull me back to satisfy those natural desires, those sinful desires that are in my members. And as he considers this, he's got this law working one way, this law working the other way, and they're contrary to the one another. And his conclusion is, verse 24, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of this death? And so the Apostle Paul understood very well the problem. We have an enemy. We have an enemy. And as the old cartoon character said when he looked in the mirror that day, he said, we have an enemy, and it is us. We are our own enemy, right? Because of this body of wicked flesh. And so there is an enemy. We need to understand that. Number two, need to understand our ambition. Our ambition. In other words, why should we desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Why should we desire to be controlled by the Holy Spirit? Let me answer the question by mentioning two things. First of all, let me give you an illustration. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 25, the Apostle Paul said, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Now the idea the Apostle Paul is referring to here is simply to the Olympic athletes. And he's talking about men who spend years in training. They spend years in training. And part of that training, in fact, the biggest part of the training, is not learning how to run fast, jump high, or do whatever it is they're going to do. The biggest part of their training is learning to control themselves. Because you see, an athlete in training would like to sleep late. But they don't do that. They get up early so they can run. I thought about doing that one time. If I ever see somebody running who looks like they really are having fun, I might try. Yeah, I mean, watch people when they run. I've never seen anybody look more miserable in all my life, you know. But anyway, they would like to sleep late, but no, they don't do that. They get up early. They go out and run. Go out and exercise. They'd like to eat junk food. Pizza's health food, right? And Pepsi Cola? I mean, that's like out of the river of life, I think. Now, they'd like to eat junk food. They'd like to tank up on all that stuff. But no, their flesh wants it. No, we're not going to eat that. We're going to eat broccoli. We're going to eat healthy. See? Self-control. They'd like to keep late hours, you know, stay up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and then go to bed, and then sleep for a couple hours, and wake up looking like they've been drunk for 6 months, you know. But they don't do that.
They don't do that. They go to bed early. They get their rest. They go through all of that training. They go through all of that period of self-control. You know why they do it? They do it simply because they want to perform at their peak level for just a few minutes, sometimes just a few seconds, every 4 years. Folks, that's dedication. That's dedication. And why do they do it? Because they want to get that gold medal that is corruptible. It's not going to last. It's going to burn up like everything else in this world. But they do all of that in order that they might get a crown. Now that's the illustration that the Apostle Paul gives. But then I want you to notice letter B, the reality. I want you to notice the reality. As Christians, you need to understand that we are running a spiritual race, but the prize is different. The prize is different. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:25 that we're to control ourselves not for a corruptible crown, but an incorruptible crown. An incorruptible crown. And because of that fact, the Apostle Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, he said, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience." Know what that is? That's self-control. That's temperance. "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." But the ambition of a spiritual Christian is not just to win prizes because he has the desire to be praised or exalted. Rather, the ambition of a spiritual Christian is he wants to run well so that Jesus Christ might be exalted and so that God the Father might be glorified. In fact, that's what we find in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 and verse number 2, when John got a glimpse of what we are looking forward to at the rapture, when we're caught up to be with the Lord in the air and we're brought into the throne room for the judgment seat of Christ. Here's what John said. He said, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me and said, Come up hither." Now right there, that's the rapture of the saints. "And immediately," John said, "I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." That's the judgment seat of Christ. Now look at verse number 4. "And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold." Now these 24 elders are symbolic of the church age saints. There are the 12 tribes of Israel. There are the 12 apostles who evangelized the Gentiles. And these two, Jew and Gentile, were made one body in Christ, in the church. And so these 24 represent the church. Verse 10 and 11. "The 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Here's the point. The great ambition of a spiritual Christian is that he or she might be able to stand before God and to worship Him by taking from their head a crown that has been given to them for running well this race of the Christian life. Taking that crown, laying it before His feet in worship and saying, "You're worthy. You are worthy to receive all glory and honor." But you know what? That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen without some effort on our part. It's not going to happen without some effort on our part. So I want you to know, number three, our effort. Our effort. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Here it is. "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust
thereof. And making no provision to fulfill or satisfy the lust of our flesh, there are four main points that we need to strive to follow in our life. If we're going to avoid this thing of making a provision, my dad used to say, son, make it hard to sin. Make it hard. That's good advice, by the way. You need to make it where in your life you never allow yourself to get in a situation where it's easy to do wrong. You need to always strive to make it hard to do wrong. Make it hard to do wrong. And there are some things that we need to strive to do if we're going to avoid making a provision for our flesh that will satisfy or fulfill the lust of our flesh. Let me mention them just very quickly with a scripture. Letter A, you need to guard your focus. You need to guard your focus. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25, here's what the wise man said. Let thine eyes look right on. That means have a determined focus. And let thine eyelids look straight before thee. In other words, don't be walking through life like this. By the way, did you know a runner, if they're running a race and they're doing this right here, you know, looking at the grandstands, looking at all the TV cameras, hi mom, you know, and you know what'll happen? You can't run straight while you're doing that. And they're going to cross a line and they'll get disqualified and they're out of the race. They're out of the race. That's why the wise man said you need to have a focus. You need to let your eyes look right on and you need to let your eyelids stay focused right before you, focused on the goal that God has for your life. You need to guard your focus. Number two, letter B, you need to establish your way. We need to establish our way. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26, he says, ponder. The idea is simply to weigh, to carefully consider. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. In other words, let all your ways be directed. Let them be arranged. Don't just wander through life, but walk with a purpose. Have a focus. And we establish our way. We find what God wants us to do. And the way we do that is clearly stated in the verses that have become my own life verse. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and all thy ways acknowledge Him. That means you just put Him first. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and all your ways acknowledge Him. Lean not to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him. And here's the promise. He will direct your path. He will direct your path. Now, we may establish our way by seeking God's direction, but you know what? It won't do you any good if you don't follow it. Right? It won't do you any good if you don't follow it. And so therefore, let her see. We have to maintain our bearing. We have to maintain our bearing. Proverbs 4:27. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. You know, when it comes to making choices in life, it really isn't hard. Did you know that? It's really not hard. It's not hard to make the right choices in life. Just takes the courage and the character to do it. Just takes the courage and the character to do it. Because the truth of the matter is, we are making choices all the time. We're either choosing to follow God, or we're choosing to follow Satan. There's no middle ground. It's one or the other. It's one or the other. And that's why the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4:27, he said, neither give place to the devil. Don't let him have a place in your heart and in your life. Don't let Satan get his foot in the door of your life, but rather determine that you're always going to choose to do the things that God wants you to do. Now, there are some people who say, well, you know, Pastor,
I got caught up in this thing, you know, and I know it's a sin. I know it's wrong. And, you know, I'm convicted, and I know I shouldn't do it. But, you know, Pastor, I just can't stop. Well, I got news for you. That's exactly what Satan wants you to believe. And let me also remind you that Satan, Jesus said, is the father of all lies. To say I cannot stop sinning is a lie. That's a lie Satan wants you to believe. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, it says, sin shall not have dominion over you. Now, when you say, I can't quit, I can't get rid of this sin, and the Bible says, sin shall not have dominion over you, somebody's lying, right? And it's not God's Word. It's not God's Word. The truth of the matter is, folks, the reason why we sin against God, check it out, Romans chapter 6, verse 12 and verse 13. The reason why we sin against God is simply because we choose to do so. We choose to let sin reign in our mortal body. See, that's a choice, right? If I let something happen, that means I chose to allow it. And we let sin reign in our mortal body. We allow sin, verse 14 tells us, to reign in our mortal body. And so because of this, then we need to do the next thing, letter D. We need to flee our temptations. We need to flee our temptations. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God says there's no temptation you have in your life that I don't have in mine. We all have the same temptations. They may be presented in different ways, but basically it's either the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. It's one of those three areas. It's the desire to have something, the desire to experience something, or the desire to be something. That's what's included in that. And so all of us face the same temptations. And there's no temptation that we face that isn't common for everybody. But here's the thing. With the temptation, when God allows it to come, He also provides a way of escape. Now here's the problem. Instead of looking for the way of escape, we become infatuated with the temptation. Right? Instead of looking for the way of escape, we start focusing on the temptation. Boy, now that really looks fun. I believe I could really get into it. I think I could enjoy that. That really looks good. That fruit, you know, really. Boy, look how luscious and red and green and so good looking and it's so juicy looking. Boy, that would be good. And see, we begin to look at the temptation instead of looking for the way of escape. Because of that, we fall. We fall. Instead of looking at the temptation, we need to focus on how to escape it. Great example. Remember several months ago now, we did a study in the life of Joseph, right? Joseph in Genesis 39, you remember he was sold by his brothers and carried down into Egypt, became a slave in the house of Potiphar. And then you remember the temptation that was presented there. And Potiphar's wife began to burn with lust. And Joseph, of course, made just like we are. I'm sure he was flattered that the woman desired him. I'm sure he was physically tempted to partake of the pleasures of an illicit sexual relationship. But Joseph was a man. Joseph was a man who not only experienced the same temptations we face, he was a man with some godly character about him. And you remember, because of that godly character, Joseph determined he was not going to be controlled by his flesh. He was not going to be controlled by fleshly desires. He was going to serve God. And so Joseph began looking for a way of escape. And the Bible says two things about that way of escape for Joseph. First of all, he refused to be with her. In Genesis chapter 39, verse 10, it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day. By the way, notice that. This is not a one-off temptation. It was every day. Every day he's facing this thing. And every day, and the Bible says that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to even be with her. In other words, when she came around, he left. He didn't even want to be in the same room with that woman. He literally, physically separated. Didn't want to be around her. But not only that, there finally came a day, you remember, he kind of got caught. He kind of got caught in the house, and she was there, he was there, and she snuck up on him and grabbed him by his coat. And the Bible says in Genesis 39:12 that when she caught him by the garment, saying, "Lie with me," he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. I like what one preacher said one time. He said, Joseph lost his coat, but he kept his character. And that's exactly what we need to do. Joseph did exactly what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 13:14. Remember what he said? He made no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Many Christians live in a constant state of misery, and many Christians live in a constant state of spiritual defeat. And it's simply because they're not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide and to control their lives. Rather, they're allowing Satan to have control, and they've made the choice. Now, temperance is when we make the choice to let God fill us with His Spirit and control us. And so may God help each one of us as we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God. And as He begins to produce His fruit in our life, may there be seen there the evidence in our life of a godly self-control, giving it all to Him and allowing Him to be the master in our heart and in our life. Lord, we thank You tonight for these thoughts.